Okay, good morning, everybody. We're up to Perek Lamed Vav. Thank you. We're up to Perek Lamed Vav. And what he speaks about here is, again, continuing on the theme of the transformation of the world as it is found in Yemais HaMashiach. What is found in those days. And all that surrounds it, all that surrounds it. And what he's going to be focusing on is the Gemara about the phenomenon which is known as Chevle Moshiach, about the birth pangs. That's usually what it's referred to as, the birth pangs of Moshiach. And I'm going to read to you the Gemara, and then we will discuss. The Gemara says, Amar Ula said, Yesi v'loyach mine. Moshiach should come, but I don't want to see it. V'chein, right? And says the Gemara, V'chein Amar Rabba, Yesi v'loyach mine. Let it come, I don't want to see it. Rav Yosef Amar Yesi, let it come. V'iski de'esi betula de'kupisa de'chamre. And I'll be happy to sit in the shadow of the, excuse me, of the dung of its donkey, right? Mashiach comes riding on a donkey, right? So I'll be happy to sit in the shadow of the dung of the donkey. You really need a maral for that one, don't you? Right? So that's what he said. Omer le Abaye le Rava or le Rabba, my taima. Why do you say this? That you want it to come, but you don't want to see it. Ilema mishum chevlei shel Mashiach is the issue because you're worried about chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. Mashiach doesn't come, you know, just with a nice music playing in the background. There's tremendous travails and trauma that comes to the world around it. The term Chevle Mashiach again is birth pangs, right? A baby is born with a lot of pain and with a lot of screaming, a lot of difficulty. Says the Gemara, so there's such a thing called Chevle Mashiach. Right? Every time the Jewish people go through a difficult time, we hope that it's Chevle Mashiach. In other words, we hope that when it'll be over, right, there'll be cries. You know, it's not always the case. Maybe because it was an opportunity that was bungled. Maybe because it wasn't. You know what we thought it was. Who knows? False labor. But the idea, he says, maybe the reason why you don't want to see it, why you don't want to have any part of it, is because of Chevle Moshiach. So he says, I have a problem with that. Because HaTanya Sholot HaMinu Sarvel Azar Ma Yasad HaMiyatzim Chevle Shem Moshiach Yasek B'tayr V'milus Chasadim. For a person to be spared from Chevle Moshiach, what should they do? They should involve themselves in Torah and in kindness. Umar HaTayr V'milus Chasadim. And you have it. You have them both. You're involved in Torah and you're involved in Milus Chasadim. So you won't have to deal with it. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Shema Yigamachet. Who knows? Maybe the sin will cause it. Kid Rav Yaakov, Varidi, the Rav Yaakov, Varidi, Ramik, Siv, Hine, Anachi, Imach, Ushmarticha, B'chol, Asher, Teilech. Right, we're going to have this. Right, start, the first part of it is in this week's Parsha. Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu as he's leaving, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to guard you wherever you go. Uchsiv, but on the other hand, it says that when Yaakov was coming back, Vayira Yaakov made Vayetzela, he was very afraid. So why was he afraid? If Hashem had assured him that he's going to guard him and bring him back safely, because he was worried that maybe Hashem promised him that, but on the other hand, maybe in the interim he sinned and he failed, and therefore he wasn't deserving any more of that promise. Kidatanya, as we learned, another source. Adiavram Hashem Zubia Rishina. Adiavram Zukanisa Zubia Shnia. We say in the Shiras Hayam, till your people Hashem pass, till they pass, this people that you have taken for yourself. So we say, why does it speak about two passages? One is the passage which they did in the days of Yehoshua to come into Eretz Yisrael, and one is the passage which they would do in the days of Ezra, returning to Eretz Yisrael after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. And Mor Me'ata, so you can say, based on this verse, it says them in one breath, Ruyim HaYisrael Aslem Nes B'Yashniyah Kuvir Shaina. They could have had a miracle the second time. It could have been such a miraculous return the second time like it was the first time. Elo Shegora Machet, but they sinned. And therefore, it ended up being very, very unremarkable, the return of Vayashani. It was with permission from the non-Jewish king, and it was not miraculous, and they needed a security detail while they were building the Beit HaMikdash because people were attacking them all the time. It was not nearly glorious. And Rabbi Yechanan said as well, I want it to come, but I don't want to see it. So Rish Lakish said, what's the reason? Ileima mishum dechsiv, and he doesn't use the term Chevle Mashiach, but he seems to be talking about the same thing. Is it because it says, Kashi Yonos ish mipnei arihu pagay adayv? You know, a person's going to run away from a lion, and then, where is he going to, he's going to find himself face to face with a bear. Ubo abayis, and then finally he gets away from them and he gets home. V'samach yorei el akir, and he leans on the wall. V'noshchei nochash, and then a snake bites him. In other words, you can run, but you can't hide. Boy v'arech, dugmasa v'el mazeh. I said, but you know something? You're worried about that? We got that in this world too. V'zman sh'odam yetzel l'sodah pagabay santer, doymik misha pagabayari. Prison goes out to the fields. He meets the santer. Right, the santer was the person who was from the board of surveyors, and he decides what your property line, correct property line is. He meets him out there. He says, "Oy vey, he's going to redraw my property line. There, I lost, you know, 4,500 square yards. Right now, just this guy, he drew the line a little bit differently." So nichnas li'ir, he comes into the city. Get away from that santer. Pogaboy gabai. He meets the tax collector, right? Who's roaming the streets? Oh boy, right there he's got that's like a bear. Right, nichnas lebeisai. So finally he escapes him. He gets in the door, closes the door. In those days they didn't have telephones from collection agencies. So matzabanavum naisim mutalim berav. He finds his children. They're looking up at him, hungry. Right. So everybody wants from him. Everybody's taking from him, quote unquote. Right. We don't have these kinds of experiences here. So if you're going to have the same thing, it's going to be chevle mashiach gevaldik. Right. At least you have something to show for it in the end. Says the Elam Yishum Nechsiv, Shaluna Ru'um Yulad Zachar, Maduar Isi Kol Gever, Yodav Al Chalotzav, Ki Eleida, Venechvu Kol Ponim Li'erokin. You'll see, child is born, but you see the man standing with his hands on his hips like a child birthing mother, all faces turned green. What does that mean? Amar Yisrael Rav Misha Kol Gvura Shaloi, the Gever is the one who has all the strength. And why does his face turn green? Amar Yech Bamayu Shemal Pamayu Shalmata. All the faces of the heavenly courts, of the lower courts, everybody, they say, because Hashem says, Hashem looks at the Goyim and he looks at the Yidden and he says, they're all mine. How could I destroy these to make room for these? He says, that's what I won't be able to take. Amar Rav Papa said, he says, you know what happens? That the ox is the animal of choice to pull the plow. It collapses. They put a horse in its place. Right, but then when the ox is better, they have a hard time taking out the horse. And once the horse is in there, it's in there already. So he says, so we say, you know, Klal Yisrael, we were replaced in our significance by the nations of the world. And then, time of Mashiach, Hashem has to bring them down. Not so easy. Once they're in the spot, it's not so easy. Okay, so that's the Gemara.
Where is this?
Gemara Sanhedrin Tzadik Chesam and Beis. Chelik. So the Gemara has to be understood, you know, on many levels. The first thing, of course, is the idea of Chevle Moshiach. The idea that there is such a thing as difficult, painful birth pangs of Moshiach. What's the nature of these birth pangs of the Moshiach? And Maral says, Pashut, simply, as we've been learning, as he's been introducing several of the past prakim, Moshiach is a new world order. And to have that new world order, you have to have a breakdown of the old. It doesn't just happen by itself. And therefore, there's going to be this trauma of change. This trauma of knocking down one in order to be able to create another. And it's like you find by any major transformation, like by Leida, like by childbirth, where this child is ensconced inside the mother. Ubar yerech ima. It's like a part of the mother. And then for the child to be born, right, it's a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, it's such a change, it's such a transformation. The child that was part of the mother has to be torn out of that environment. Its whole system, right, that it was being fed through the navel is now being changed and it's going to be fed through the mouth. All of these transformations, all of this dislodging and dislocation and change, it doesn't come just easily and smoothly. And therefore, there is going to be such a thing as Chevle Moshiach. Shinui, every change brings with it this kind of a difficulty. There's major change. There's destruction and creation that is happening over here. Okay. So there's pain and there's difficulty, and that's why they don't want to see it. They don't want to be a part of it. It's too difficult. You know, the Gemara sometimes says lahein v'lo yischaran. You know, there might be great reward which comes at the end, but it's just going to be too difficult to be able to handle. Rav Yosef said, I want to be there, and I'll sit even in the shadow of the dung. Now, Maral doesn't say this, but I always found it fascinating that they all say it should come and I don't want to see it. Rav Yosef was blind. So there must be something to that. Now, it's not simply that, you know, he didn't mind because there was still obviously pain to be felt. You know, when the Gemara asked about Rebbe, why do you care? You have tiring wheels chassadim. He would still see the pain of others. It'd still be difficult to see the pain of others. But something, I don't know. It seems to me that there's something to the fact that Rabbi Yosef was someone who wasn't able to see. And therefore, you know, that term of Aleach Mine was not there as much. And maybe just the level of detachment he was able to have from the world was such that he was able to be able to absorb it better. But what does it mean when he says, I'll there and I'll be happy to sit in the shadow of the dung of the donkey? And the Maharal says that this is the Gemara's way, Rav Yosef's way of saying that, okay, of course it's going to be difficult. Of course it's going to be traumatic to get there. But you know what Mashiach is going to be like. You know what Yemosa Mashiach is going to be like. I mean, you know, forget the words of the Gemara. That's going to be the counter argument, right? This guy, we read it and we're surprised to hear these great people saying, I hope Mashiach comes and everything, but I don't want to see it. Why? Because it's just going to be too hard to get there. But what about the bliss of Yemais HaMashiach? What about the great stuff that's going to be there? You're going to give that up because of the pain of getting there. Right? That's what you were thinking, right? When you heard this Gemara. That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying. How's Rabbi Yosef saying it in a strange way? You wouldn't have said it that way. But the idea is like this, that the time of Mashiach, what's so blissful about the time of Mashiach? It's not in-ground pools, pina coladas poolside, right? The beauty of Yemais HaMashiach is the Olam HaRuach, the perfection, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world of the Spirit that's going to be there. So he says that, you know something? Those times are going to be so dramatically more pure and perfect, more spiritually inclined, that which we would consider to be the lowest echelon within this world, meaning, you take a donkey, which is a donkey is called chamor. Right? Chamor is like chomer. Chomer is matter, physicality. Right? Its name is called for its physicality. That's, you know, many places you find the significance of the donkey is because that's its representative in a certain sense. You know, the snake is out of business, not one of the animals anymore. Originally, perhaps it took on this role, but now it's the chamor. It's the snake. It's the donkey that represents all of this. And the donkey's waste, right, is that which even the donkey's life force can't use. It's the worst of the worst. It's the lowest of the low. It's the lowest of the low on the ladder of the physical world. And he says, the lowest of the low of the physical world of the time of Mashiach is still going to represent a spirituality that I would want to be able to experience. You know that when we speak about times of good and times of perfection, it's not limited to the spirituality of sitting and learning or seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. The Gemara says that Adam HaRishon, his heel was more radiant than the sun. Right? The heel is usually, when we think about it, for our heels ourselves, our heel is the dead flesh on the bottom of the body and, you know, and everything else. In a certain sense, within the physical body, it's like the lowest and deadest part of the person. But we're saying even that was radiant. That's what he's saying over here. You know, Chazal described to us, the Pasuk describes, Ani v'reichav al chamor, the Mashiach comes like a poor man riding on a donkey. Right? So he says, even that donkey that he's riding on, even the physicality that he's there is transformed, even the waste, even the excrements of that donkey will still be so transformed that it's going to be a world of spirituality. I'll take any part of it. I'll take the farthest edges of it. So I'll take it. With whatever difficulty that is there, I'll take it. That's what he's saying. So again, the intuitive response that you would say to this is Rav Yosef's response. Rav Yosef is saying it's going to be a world of such difference. Something that here is so repulsive in that world will already be, relatively speaking, will be appealing and gratifying. And therefore, he wanted to, you know, that was his response. That's the way Maharal learns. It's beautiful. I mean, I think it's a Again, it's not necessarily the way you and I would speak. That's the Lashon of Chazal. That's the way they express themselves, and it expresses it beautifully. Okay. So then the Gemara goes on to Rabbah. And it says, Rabbah, why are you so upset? Why do you not want to have anything to do with it? We know that the way a person is going to be spared from Chevle Mashiach, the Gemara says, a person wants to avoid Chevle Mashiach, they should be involved in Torah, and they should be involved in Gemara's Chassadim. So what's the, you know, what's with you? You're involved in Torah and Gemara's Chassadim. What are you afraid of? Why would involvement in Torah and Gemara's Chassadim spare a person from Chevle Mashiach? So, the Maral speaks about the fact that the Gemara speaks in different places about involvement in those two things. It says, Imru Tzadik Kitoiv, is there such a thing as a Tzadik Toiv, and there's such a thing as a Tzadik who's not Toiv? It says, well, yeah. A Tzadik Toiv is Toiv L'Shamayim B'Toiv L'Briyais. He's good for everybody. He's good for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he's good to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he's good to other people. Toiv L'Shamayim B'Toiv L'Briyais. He's good for people, and he's good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imru Tzadik Ki Toiv. Tyran, Gemilas Chasadim, is the person who's Toiv in all realms. He's Toiv to Hashem, and he's Toiv to people. And because, right, the first draft of the Maral is that because he is so attached to Toiv, he's just doing Toiv, he's just giving, so therefore he will be immune to the Ra, to the bad, that's there in the days of the Chevle Mashiach. Chevle Mashiach is a, you know, comes with all kinds of bad things, all kinds of difficult things, all kinds of terrible things. The way to avoid it is to be involved in Toiv. You know, you remember the Gemara, that the Gemara says that the Malach HaMoves tried to attack David HaMelech, but he wasn't able to. Why? Because as long as David HaMelech was learning Torah, he couldn't get to him. Right? The weakness, the damage, the harm, the negativity can't come to one who is really attached at that point to the Toiv, to the goodness. And here, where he has it on both realms, of Toiv L'Shamayim and Toiv L'Briyais, right? That's what we're talking about over here. He's attached to Toiv on all fronts, in the physical realm of Chesed. Chesed is Toiv in the physical realm, right? You understand people's physical needs, and you're addressing their physical needs. And Torah is, of course, in the spiritual realm. Because of the combination, because of the fact that the person's involved on both fronts, that is what's going to spare him, help him to avoid the negativity. However, the Maral goes one step further, which I think is a he goes two steps further, and I think it's very, very, very significant. He says, Toiv. We know that it always says Toiv by the Maaseh Bereishis. Every day of creation, Hashem said, I saw Ki Toiv, he saw that it was good, he saw that it was good, he saw that it was good. Except once. When was that? On the Sheni, on the second day. On the second day, he didn't say Ki Toiv. What's the idea? So he says, because on the Yom Sheni, on the second day is the day of Shinui. Sheni is Shinui. Sheni means second. Shinui is change. You have something in its original state, and then you have something in its changed state, in its transformed state. In a certain sense, of course, the creation of the second day represents that more than anything else. Why? Because what did it do? It, in a certain sense, it didn't really create anything new. What it did was, it took the Mayim, which was originally, right, waters, you know, the whole earth was, you know, contiguous Eretz v'Shamayim, and it went and it broke it. It separated it. It created a madil, created a separation. That's really the Sheni, is to split it, to break it apart. So on that you can't say Ki Toiv. On that you can't say Ki Toiv. And what this person is trying to avoid here, we're talking about avoiding Chevle Mashiach. Chevle Mashiach is, as the Maral says, what's it the pain of? It's the pain of change. Right? Change, you can get pain from, right? There's no campaign slogan. Right? So, you know, it's transformative change, which is wrenching, which is taking from one state into another.
says that's why when Sheni, when Shinui, when that was created, it wasn't Taiv. And this person, who himself individually is involved in Taiv, is attaching himself to Taiv, to the Tov B'Lashamayim, and the Tov L'Brios, to goodness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and goodness to people, that person is therefore attached to Taiv, so he avoids the pain of the transformation. He avoids the pain of the change, the wrenching pain of the Shinui. He says the second day, which is the day of Shinui, is not subject to it. And Chelei Moshiach has an aspect of Shinui, and Shinui has this negative thing, it has this difficulty with it. But when the person is involved in Taiv, so they're going to be able to indeed avoid it. Rabbi Hartman Shtels too, he brings something which I think is very nice, very elegant. He brings it from Maral speaks about it, but he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishana Mipnei Asholem. What does that mean? Hashem changed. Okay, we just had it in the Parsha, right, a couple of weeks ago, where the Malachim came and HaKadosh Baruch Hu quoted Sarah as saying, oh, how can I give birth when I'm so old? When she really had said about how old Avram was. So we say, okay, look, you know, for Shalom Bayis, you know, Hashem didn't want to make her complaining about him, whatever that means. But you see, Hashem changed in order to make shalom, in order to make peace. Peace is the opposite of machlokes. So he says, machlokes is the ultimate change. Machlokes is the ultimate shinui. That's what he's saying. The second day of creation was the creation of machlokes, of division, of separation. That's the ultimate shinui. And therefore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the ultimate shalom, the ultimate togetherness, so therefore, he said, I will be Mishana, I'll change the word in order to avoid the ultimate shinui, the ultimate change, which is which it would be the change, the disruption of dispute and of argumentation. So that's a notion, it's an idea that Taiv is avoiding this concept of negative shinui, of traumatic shinui. But he says one more thing. This next step, which is I think very important and profound, is one of our beliefs about Hashem is rolled into his name, which is a combination, the name that we don't pronounce, which is a combination of Haya, Hayve, V'yeh. He was, he is, and he will be. Hashem is unchanging. Everything that we have in the process of creation and development and times of Mashiach, not times of Mashiach, it all has to do with the world being able to absorb more or less of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have more or less godliness within it. The world, in relationship to Hashem, constantly changes. But Hashem as an entity is unchanging. Hashem as a being for himself is absolutely unchanging. Haya, hayve, v'yeh. And the true spiritual things are in the same sense also unchanging. The Torah is nitzchi. The Torah is eternal. It doesn't change. The soul of a person also, in the greatest sense, doesn't change. The relationship of that unit called soul and body changes, but the soul is supposed to be nitzchi, it's supposed to be eternal. It doesn't die, it doesn't grow in that sense. It has the eternity that's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Maharal, what is subject to change, and therefore to the trauma of change, is something which is physical. Physical things, they're material things, they change all the time. They grow and they shrink and they're born and they die. Everything that Kohelet spoke about of a world that's cycles and comes in and out, and there's a time for this and a time for that. Right? Those are all the realities of the physical world of things which change. Things which change all the time. The person who's involving himself in Taira and Gemilus Chasadim, that person is coming to the world of what the Maharal calls the world of Pshitus. Change is a result of harkava, of combined beings, right? The body and soul, things with composite beings, right? A rock, right? Or a simple element doesn't change. It is what it is. Yeah, it's attachment to something, so it can constantly go from being a solid and a liquid and whatever. It's all the different things that it becomes attached to. That's where change occurs. But something which is like Hashem, Poshut, simple, right? Basic, not a composite being, that's constant. And Torah and Gemilus Chasadim are the two pathways to that. Torah is the way the person somehow, right? Maral writes about this all the time, this idea of the pshitus, of the simplicity, of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's straight and clear and pure truth that he is sharing and that he's and that he's giving over, and that the more the person incorporates it into himself, the more the person attaches himself to that, the more indeed that he is going to be spared from a world of shinui, from a world of change and upheaval. And the same thing is true when the person's involved in chesed. Because in chesed as well, what he's doing is, instead of being involved in the physical world as an act of indulgence for himself, he's giving. Giving is spirituality. Giving is the person, you know, transcending their own physical self and their own physical needs. And there, again, we find this idea of pshitus. And they become less subject to change. Right? A person who's involved in themselves, right, is going to find that, you know, the whims and the changes of, right, we're all human beings, we're all involved with ourselves and have needs, right? The whims and changes of everything else are going to, you know, impact them deeply. A person's thinking about the needs of others, you know, they themselves as an internal entity are not going to be as impacted. To the extent that it affects others, it's going to impact them. But it's not going to affect them as much for themselves. Yeah.
Isn't it a problem then, for one of the prerequisites for Mashiach coming is a reduction in Torah knowledge in this world? Or did I not get that right? That what's going to save somebody from experiencing pain would be to cling to that. So it seems like it would be a very limited amount of people.
Absolutely. There's no question that we don't say, with all those things that it says, that in the days of Mashiach, there'll be a lot of arrogance, and young people will treat older people without respect. You know, the mother will rise up against her daughter, and so on and so forth. So let's bring Mashiach, okay, guys? So let's be really audacious. Let's be chutzpahdik. Let's, you know, it's supposed to be a downgrade in Torah and everything else. That's what's happening. There's a process which is happening to the world, which is just like this going on process, which is happening to the world spiritually. But he says, Lamaisa, the people who are the sparks of the world to come, so to speak, that are in there, the people who are the seeds from which the spirit of the Yemais HaMashiach, or the positive Yemais HaMashiach, will grow, that's great. Rabbah, you're there. Anybody should go and grab it. Anybody should go and take it. Our efforts to bring Mashiach aren't by making the world worse. They're to make the world better. But as the world goes on and gets crazier and crazier and more difficult and difficult, you know, that's what's happening. So he will be spared from it. And, you know, in a sense, Ryan, that's exactly the point. For him, it's not going to be transformation. For the world that's going through the depths of its physicality and it's getting so crazy and so out of order and everything else, Mashiach will be a trauma. Everything's going to be turned around. Everything upside down. The person will have to detach themselves from all of the physical will have to detach himself from all of its corruption and physicality and attach itself to the spirituality. But tell me something. If your life now is Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, and the coming of the Mashiach is about making that front and center, where's the trauma? Where's the trauma? That's really the depths of what's being said over here. That a person wants to be saved from Chevlei Mashiach. A person doesn't want to have to experience it as an upheaval, as a complete dramatic change. Live Messianic. I don't think that sounds like a good slogan nowadays, but you know what I mean. Right? You know, live with the values of that world, and then it'll be a different story.
Can we quote you on that?
Okay. Yeah.
We talk about a lot of things going on today, but it's just a Mashiach, I guess, in perspective. I'm just curious, the one thing you just mentioned about there being less Torah in the world, that's the one thing that I don't really understand as far as what's going on in the world today. It seems like people saying there's more and more people in Mashiach than there have been. But first of all, I don't think you would say we're actually trying to get some Mashiach, but assuming that someone would say that.
I never say those things. I never say those things, and the reason is because if you read in Svarim, especially from 60 years ago, and you read about how it's clearly the ikfas of the Mashiach, you know what happened. So one might say fairly that it was an opportunity. In fact,
1948, the Second World War ended, and in 1948, the Jews became the Bailim, so to speak, the owners of Eretz Yisrael. And we have a notion that in history there are junctures, forks in the road that could have been. You know, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it speaks about a certain year when Mashiach would come. And the Ritva says, there on the Gemara, it could have been. And significant things happened then. But we squandered the opportunity. So, I don't know if that's the case in the, you know, in these particular things. All I know is that, you know, to me it's not heartening necessarily to say to have it that way. And I think it can distract us sometimes from the work at hand. Our job is to be the best possible people in the world, to do everything we can in chesed, in Torah, in avoda, in every single realm. That's our job. And whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing Mashiach now and that's why all these rumblings are happening, or he's not bringing Mashiach now, that's not my job. In fact, perhaps my job is specifically not to think about it. I'm not supposed to be mechashev kitzim. Right? What the Gemara says in so many different ways, so many different places. Forget about Mashiach. Just do your job. Just do your job. I don't mean forget about Mashiach. Chas v'chalila. A person has to yearn for Mashiach, hope for Mashiach, realize how incomplete the world is without Mashiach. But stop marking dates on your calendar. Okay, now as I got those emails, like you did probably, about the six different things that indicate that Mashiach is coming, and Obama's gematria or Rosh Tevis, or you know, all these things, and how
I didn't get that one.
I'm not forwarding it to you. Okay, but there's this stuff which is going around, seven different things.
What's the gematria of Democrats?
But there are all kinds of stuff that's there, and I don't think it's helpful. I don't think it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. I get some people upset. Somebody sent me this whole thing. Rabbi, tell me, I heard about this thing, I heard that thing. My son's Rebbe said this, and so on and so forth. I said, let's just do our job. Okay, let's leave this stuff alone. Let's just do our job. Right. Obama isn't the devil, and McCain isn't Mashiach, and you know, and so on and so forth, and just do our job, and I think that's what we're supposed to do. So I wouldn't have a comment, you know, to say how it fits in with that. You know, the tremendous growth of Torah, which is dramatic and incredible. It's also dramatic and incredible that of the 13 to 50 million Jews in the world, how many of them are into this great renaissance of Torah? Right? We are losing. I mean, you know, we take great pride in the strength and the growth of Torah, people attaching themselves to Torah. I mean, for every Baal Tshuva, how many people are falling off of the face of the Jewish map? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a... So yes, we have certain things which are part of a renaissance of Torah that could be the seeds of Mashiach, or it could be it can't be the seeds of Mashiach because this is my Mashiach. Torah is gonna disappear, but you know what? Torah is growing and disappearing at the same time. That's what's happening, and it's never gonna disappear. Leisi shachach mi pizarai. Right? There's never gonna be a time, but you know. So I don't know. And I don't know who does know. Okay. One thing I would just note for you is just in this last thing in the morale, very quickly, is that avoda. It's an interesting thing. You know, we have three pillars the world stands on, and he says to be involved in Torah and Milas Chasadim. What about avoda? You know, poor avoda gets left out. You know, like what's going on? What about davening? You know, worship, that kind of a thing. Right. So avoda is not called tov. It's not that it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Right, but it's not called Taif. It's not that eternity. Avoda is interestingly something that Hashem can't do. Torah is Hashem. Gemilus Chasadim are the ways of Hashem. Right? Well, we learn Gemilus Chasadim from walking in the ways of Hashem. Avoda, worship, That's something which you can only do as a physical, mortal human being. You worship Hashem from long distance. You realize how great He is, how small you are. So avoda is a good thing. It's an important thing. But to be that tov, to be that pashut, to be that, you know, simple, pure spirit, you have to make yourself into something that is godly. And that's done by Gnilus Chasadim, and in a deeper level, it's done by Torah. Okay. Now,
isn't it also that does a mishalim, because just like food, you eat a meal, the next dinner, you wake up the next morning, you're hungry again. So too, you daven, and you fill a need,
okay,
and then 3 or 4 hours later, you do again.
Okay, good.
It's constant.
It's not an avoidance of Shino. You got to do it all the time.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so that's one. And he said, great. I have Torah Milas Chasadim, but who knows what will happen? Maybe I'll sin. Maybe I'll fail. And he brought other examples. We're not going to get into the details, when Hashem promises something through a Navi to tell the people, it doesn't change. When Hashem told Yaakov, it could change. All kinds of things about it. But there's always a concern. Don't be so sure of yourself. Don't be so confident. Unless you have an explicit promise from Hashem that's in the realm of an irrevocable promise, no matter what, we always have to worry. Okay. Now, Rish Lakish and Rav Yechman had the same conversation. Or the same issue was discussed between them. It was different words that were said between them. Rish Lakish said to Rav Yechman, why did you say you don't want to see it? And if the issue is because of all these terrible things, the lion and the bear and the snake, right? We suffer now too. And Maral says that, when we speak about the lion, the bear, and the snake, clearly what we're speaking about is, again, this idea that you can run but you can't hide. And that there's just like this constant struggle. And he says, the idea is because that's the difference between a world which is where it's supposed to be, a world of menucha, and a world of shinui, a world of transformation, is that there's never... You're never tranquil. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megureyav be'eretz Kanaan. Yaakov settled, sat down, relaxed in the land of his father's dwelling, in the land of Canaan. And what's the next? What's happening right away? Yosef and his brothers. Says Rashi, Yaakov wanted leishev b'shalva. He wanted to sit with tranquility. He wanted, he said, I've had a rough life. From the womb, I was fighting with my brother. Right? Okay, talk about getting an early start. Right? And then I had to fight him. I had to get the Bechora. Then I had to go on the run because he wanted to kill me. Then I went and my father-in-law wasn't much better. Right? And I had all those years with Lavan. And then I came back and then I had to meet up with Esav again. And then I had the whole story with Dina. Let me have a break. Let me take it easy. By Yeshev. Say Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's time for that. But it's not in this world. It's in the next world. Right away, the next upheaval. The story of Yosef. That's the change. And, Chazal say, wherever it says Vayeshev, where it says and he settled down, pain comes. When you try to think, okay, now it's finished. So then if you got finished with the lion, here comes the bear. If you got finished with the bear, here comes the snake. You can run, you can't hide. Because that's the world. And it's not just because we're living in this terrible world. We're living in a world where we're supposed to be challenged and growing. Right? When it's time to retire from work, great. You want to retire from work, great. So now figure out what your next challenge is. Now you don't have to make the money anymore because you have all those terrific mutual funds, or maybe not. Right? But whatever it is, you're still alive. So what's the next thing? What's the next job? What's the next challenge? This world is the world of work. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want to retire early from life, sorry, Charlie, I'm going to draw you right back into the thick of things. So he says, you're going to look at that world of Chevelei Moshiach, and it's described as wherever you turn, there's challenges. Look, fundamentally, that's our condition right here. Right? It's our condition in life all the time. Right? Who just sits back and relaxes and enjoys the show? This is the way it is. It'll be a little more, it'll be a little bit less. But what the Pasuk's not describing is, lions versus... leopards. It's describing the fact that wherever you turn, there's something. And that's life in this world. Wherever you turn, there's something. And there's supposed to be something. So what's concerning you so much about the time of Chevelei Moshiach? And Rav Yechanan's answer is tremendously, tremendously, hauntingly profound. Rav Yechanan says, that's not the problem. My problem isn't that there's going to be challenges. My problem isn't that, you know, life keeps going on and so forth. You know, but rather my problem is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time is going to find himself saying, everybody's going to blanch and pale because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a hard time changing the world back. Right? The horse took the place of the ox in the harness. And once it's in there, it's a little hard to change. Rav Yechanan says, this isn't the run-of-the-mill problems of the world. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu having to take the nations of the world that he gave the strength of Klal Yisrael. What do we read in yesterday's parsha? Right? Esav cries desperately, give me a bracha, give me a bracha. I mean, Yaakov says, what do you want from me? I gave him this, I gave him that, and I made him in control of you. Can't you give me something? So he says, yeah, I'll give you one thing. When he doesn't deserve to be in control of you, you will thrive. You will be very, very great. You're going to take his place. Right? Rome was built on the ruins of Jerusalem, says the Gemara. If a person will tell you that both are strong, it can't be. When Yaakov is strong, Esav is weak. When Yaakov is weak, then Esav thrives. And Chevelei Moshiach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking a nation that he put in its place. It's also Maisei Yadav. It's also his creatures. And completely shaking them out in order to make room for the Jewish people. And that's not simple. Hashem will do it. There's no question that Hashem will do it. There's no question Hashem will do it. But remember, this is the same language that we found at Kriyas Yamsuf. These are Avdei Avodah Zarah, these are Avdei Avodah Zarah. Right? The Malachim there had the complaint. Why are you making the change? Before the Jewish people were his. And Hashem himself, the Egyptians are there, and he doesn't want to hear song. I mean, the Jewish people, you can sing, you were saved. But from the angels, for Hashem himself, I just gave up on a whole nation of mine. Ma'isa Yadav Tevim Bayam. Yemais HaMashiach is not a party for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make this change, to take the horse that's been in that position and throw it out. So you say, but it was just a horse, you know, weren't serving Hashem, they weren't doing anything. But there's a difficulty. Hashem, who all of the strength is his, and Gevura is, as the Maharal says, it's the specific strength to overcome, to change, to make things different, right? To Gevura is to, you know, the power to, you know, to overcome and to overthrow. So you say Hashem, that Gvura weakened, was, you know, there's a difficulty in doing that. There's a difficulty Klal Yisrael in doing that. Yeah.
It seems like this last thing would be difficult for everyone but Klal Yisrael. When we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, I mean, Klal Yisrael basically had the free ride, and everyone else got hurt. And then to be unseated seems like a difficult thing, but you know, kind of be placed in there doesn't seem like that would be.
Of course, it'll be ultimately more difficult for everybody else than it'll be for the Jews. But Rav Yechanan knows that for that transformation to happen, it's not something which happens easily with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something. So even though he's the one who's going to be replaced, who's the one who's going to be put in the position, but he'd much rather see it as kaboom, here we are. Chevelei Moshiach indicate to a certain degree that just to dispose of the nations of the world, the Jews can't just ride in here, you know, standing up in their stirrups, you know, and just ride in there, here we're taking over. Hashem put other creatures of his, other children of his, other nations in his in our place. To take them out, it doesn't happen easily.
Gosh, Baruch had to wait a certain amount of time for the seven nations to
use up
their own, that you know, they were done, right. Kalos. So over here, can you just wait till, you know, there's plenty of Chataim by Umas Olam. You guys are done, you're finished, you've done what you've, there isn't anything left of you, so, you know, adios.
We still have to fight our way in, though.
Okay. But then it's just tit for tat, isn't it?
Even then.
Hashem can just flip a switch, be done in a second.
Yeah, he could.
So then to go through this.
But he'd have to close his eyes and close, block his nose and do that. because not disposing of his creations. It's not hard the way you and I feel, you know, say something is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will be, you know, imagine, you know, you have this. It's not comparable exactly. Okay, you'll understand immediately the flaws in the example. But you know, you're the manager of the baseball team, right? And your ace pitcher or your football team, or in Yonah Diuma, right? Your quarterback, right? You know, he has an injury, and you put this guy on, right? And he's a young kid, and he goes and he works and he's, you know, does everything else. He does everything that he's supposed to do. Right? He's, you know, like the third string or whatever it is, and he does everything that he's supposed to do. Right? And he's working hard, and the team's playing, they're playing okay. And then he feels better. Right? The star quarterback, whatever his name is, you know, he feels better.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You gotta go over to this guy. You gotta take away the football and hand it over to this person. You know, so it's not hard. Just take the football and hand it over. Right? Even for us, that's easy. You know, how heavy is the football? You know, but you know what I got to do, right? This now you've been in the star, you've been in the spotlight, you've been in that important position, you've been doing so much, right? And now, goodbye. So there's a tsar, there's a gvura, there's a paling in the hand of HaKadosh, in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that happens with that. Now again, the failure is that of course this guy was working hard and he was doing his job, he's doing everything he's supposed to do. You know, the goyim, you would say, what are you talking about? You know, like he gave the job to this guy, the quarterback, and he's in the spotlight, so he's going to the nightclubs and he's busy giving interviews and he's not working, he's not working out, and he's not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the guy comes back, he says, give me that football, and you give it to the next, they give it to the next one. That's what you and I would say. But how about if you have to kill him? You know what I'm saying? You know, the significance which was lent to those creatures, you know, to those parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Like Ninveh, right?
There's an upheaval.
Like Ninveh,
right? Okay. One last thing. Okay? And really there's great detail to this. I think I avoided it somewhat because this piece is actually a sample of something we have in the Be'er HaGoyel. Maral speaks about the same piece we're about to discuss. And it's complex. We'll have to deal with it a little bit more, aspects of it. But Rav Shimon says in Masechah Shabbos, "Kol ha'mekayim gimel sudas b'Shabbos." Person who keeps the shol sudas on Shabbos is saved from gimel puranias, saved from three horrible things. He's saved from chevle mashiach. He's saved from Gehenim, the judgment of Gehenim, and from the war of Gog u'Magog. Three sudas on Shabbos. He's been saved from those three things. I think one makes a drasha to say it. So, you know, it might be easier than tiring Milos Chasadim, even in the winter, right? You know, might do it. So what's the deal? So the Maral, of course, breaks it down and explains, you know, what the three are specifically. But the basic idea, which Maral says, is like this. That Shabbos is shleimus. Shabbos is completion. It's 6 days you work to arrive at completion. Shabbos, you've arrived there. This is where you are. You don't do anything more to prepare for Shabbos. You're here. Whatever you have, you have. You don't start preparing for the next week. You're in this state of non-shinui. You're in the state of non-change. Person who fulfills the three meals on Shabbos, you know, and he speaks about three aspects of change which would exist. Sometimes there's change because something is incomplete, sometimes because it's too much, something because it's lost altogether, whatever it is, he breaks it down. We're not going to spend time on that right now. But Shabbos, basically, the person who celebrates the Shabbos, who can understand completeness and celebrate the completeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that goes along with Shabbos. So, Chevle Moshiach, even Gog u'Magog, which is to some degree a form of that, okay, is the pain of a world that has to change, a world that has to be transformed. And the more the person roots themselves in where the world needs to be, the less they have to struggle through the transformation. As we said before, the person who's involved in Torah, involved in Milas Chasadim, he's already there. He's already there. So for him, it's not going to be a radical transformation. It's not going to be a radical upheaval to get there. He's already there. The person who's Shomer Shabbos, celebrates the Shabbos, Ma'aniges HaShabbos, right? The three suttas of Shabbos, in of Einig Shabbos. Einig, pleasure. It's the pleasure of completeness. Hashem looked at everything that he had made and it was good. You know, that's the Einig Shabbos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what it's written in its form. That was the Einig Shabbos of Hashem. He looked at everything and it was good. Right? Completeness. That's, the more the person is able to celebrate the completeness of the world as it is, the more he's in the Yom Shekulei Shabbos. Shabbos is something of the world to come. You're there already. There's no upheaval to experience to get there. You're there already. There's no upheaval to experience to get there. Again, there's much more to it, as always. These prakim are short of the Maral. You know, they're like very short relative to the ones in the first volume. So I figure it's short prakim. We'll be able to cover everything. Still can't cover everything. Okay.